Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Brought to you proudly by GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We're broadcasting live from the future in New Zealand, and our Kiwi collaborator for today, his name is Billy McKee. And he is a representative from Green Cross New Zealand. So we're going to talk about medical cannabis. Billy, are you there on the line, mate?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thanks very much for that. Thanks for the opportunity to have a say.
Well, that's the interesting thing about my show, is I give everybody to have an opportunity to have a say, especially those who disagree with me for sometimes. But anyway... Here's something that I do agree with, is medicinal cannabis, and I don't know if you know, but we've had Rick Simpson on the show very recently on this week, and we're kind of very, very well aware of the effects of medical cannabis, but what we're not aware of is who you are. Who is Billy McKee, and how did you get involved with Green Cross?
Well, I got involved with Green Cross because a drunk driver ran me over and ripped my leg off and left me with quite a few other injuries, you know, like to my other leg and to my hands and my elbows and my hips was all injured as well. So I was in quite a high level of discomfort, like most of the time. Well, pretty much, yeah, most of the time, nearly all the time actually. And I've been prescribed quite a few different medications from the doctors, and you know, but quite frankly, you know, the effect from them wasn't very good. You know, it wasn't a good effect at all. I wasn't able to do very many things because I was sort of too spaced out through the day, and you know, I just felt pretty depressed about it all. So I started using cannabis for, you know, to keep me going and stuff, and yeah, and so I could come off the prescription medicine. So, and that worked out quite well. There was, you know, there was a number of problems with it, mainly like things like availability and cost and quality. With, you know, big problems, you know, plus you can sort of constantly worry about the police busting as well, so that's not a, you know, that's an added layer of stress there all the time. And, you know, over here, there's, you know, quite a few problems with gangs and stuff over here as well, so they're a bit of a worry as well, so you've got a couple of big problems there.
So, and, of course, if one of them were to assault you or something, at least you could use cannabis for the pain.
I feel better already.
Yeah. I mean, they might even be carrying some for you, you know.
Yeah, well, they might be. But it doesn't generally work that way. As a general rule, they want some, and they don't want to pay for it. And they don't care if they, you know, have to go to some extraordinary extents to get it, you know.
Hold on, I'm confused. Are we talking about the police or the gangs?
Are you implying there's a difference between the two?
I was wondering if there was, yes.
Well, yeah. In some ways, you know, there was a difference. In other ways, there's quite a few similarities as well. I actually refer to the police from time to time as the biggest organised. They refer to themselves as well as the biggest gang in New Zealand. But I also refer to them as the biggest organised crime group in the world. But even if you look at Egypt, what's happening there, you know, it's really the police. The people are battling with the police, and they've been battling with the police all the time. You know, our president, he never would have been able to stay in there for this long without the police intimidating everybody. You know, that this happens worldwide. Look at the police in the States, there's their behaviour. You know, so it is a worldwide problem. Is the power of the police have just got too much power.
Well, is that a free society, though? I mean, giving police more power. I always wondered this because no human being does well with amounts of power for too long. You know, it all eventually goes to their head. And we've got 19-year-old police officers now busting up parties and trying to arrest stoners and then chucking away like 35-year-old stoners and then giving them a lesson on life. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It is. It's total madness, you know. Yeah.
So, are they there to enforce the law or enforce moral objectitude codes? You know, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, they really should be there to trying to reduce harm to society, you know, by arresting, you know, people that are having a smoke, especially medical users, and they're still arresting medical users, you know, and, you know, take them through court. Sometimes they let them go. You know, we've had quite a few people from Green Cross have been... You know, they've sort of come into contact with the police for one reason or another, And, you know, the police have had, you know, proof that they're using cannabis and caught them with cannabis and different things like that. But quite often the police will actually let Green Cross people go. You know, they've got a Green Cross card, they got support from their doctors. And, you know, so a lot of the police are really good sorts. But the real problem with the police is the hierarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had a guest on the show a while back last year. Her name was Grace Hayden, a lovely woman. She was a police prosecuting sergeant for 15 years, and she said on the show that the police are so corrupt that you either leave or become corrupt.
Yeah.
It's like only a matter of time. And it's like only a matter of time. And to me, it's no surprise. I mean, because after all, if you have laws that are based on lies, you'd probably need liars to enforce those laws. And anybody who becomes a police officer who believes in any form of truth wouldn't be able to survive there.
No, especially when that's the culture of the police force as it is to be dominant and tell lies in court. You know, I speak that sometimes there's some of these undercover cops that have, you know, that sort of come out after years and years, and they tell about all the lies and stuff they told in court.
They were ordered to lie.
Convicted.
They were ordered to lie was the interesting part.
Yeah. So, you know, where's the responsibility here? All these people, and there's a lot of them, went to jail. They went through all the hardship of the courthouse, court hearing and trials and everything like that. They went to jail, and then they served their time, they get out, but basically, things are pretty fucked up when you get out.
Unfortunately, we cannot use any of these seven words that you can't say on radio because we are under FCC regulations on this show.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But
just got a delay on it?
No.
Okay. I won't swear again. I'm not actually
You're going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide and 100,000 plus listeners, buddy.
Okay.
Don't worry, I don't mind myself.
I shouldn't swear. I'll try not to.
You can use the effing and the BS and the you know, the hyphenoms or pseudonyms or whatever nims you want to talk about. You know, but the thing is, it's all language and nitty gritty. Like, for example, I was talking with a member of the cannabis movement here in New Zealand about how cannabis, according to Rick Simpson, many of his studies, which are very well documented, can cure cancer.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, cannabis can cure cancer, makes us all look at like a bunch of fringe loonies. It's the truth, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah.
So how can it be loony to tell the truth? And now, isn't that interesting, though, in our society, isn't that the way it is? You're a loony if you say the truth, because everybody thinks that lying is a good thing.
Yeah, well, the propaganda, especially in the cannabis issue, has just been stacked up and stacked up, you know, just lies upon lies, and people have actually come to believe it.
No, it's like Joseph Goebbels said, if you can repeat a lie often enough, people begin to be persuaded by it.
Yeah, even the person saying it. I've seen them do it, actually. I've seen a cop do it one day.
I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy. No, you're not, mate.
Yeah.
If you're working for the bad guy, you're the bad guy.
You know?
You didn't think any of the henchmen of like of like some description of dictator or whatever were good guys, you know?
Yeah.
What's the purpose that you serve when you put on a uniform, and is it the right purpose? I mean, I've talked to police officers and I've asked them, you know, do you have the discretion? And they say, yeah, we do. And I say, well, would you mind exercising it, particularly when it comes to young men who you're arresting for cannabis? Because it really, really destroys their lives and it creates the next generation of police haters.
Yeah, it does. And we're getting into the third generation of that here now. Mm-hmm. You know, and see, a lot of those original people, they probably got arrested and jailed after the police, the undercover cops actually went into the area and gave them seeds and got them growing and then arrested them and then got them put in jail for it. So those guys would have a real chip on their shoulders about it all. They've got kids, they've probably got grandkids by now, and they've still got that chip on their shoulders.
And now they've got all sorts of psychological problems as well because of the stress they're under.
Yeah, and the best thing for stress? Have a smoke.
Cannabis!
Hey, you know what you're talking about cannabis being used for cancer before?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been using the oil from the seed. which is quite legal to. You can buy that online. It's quite legal to get that.
It's not the same one. You have to actually get the high potency THC oil. You know how you I forget how you do it. You use isopropyl alcohol supposedly, and you get all the resin off of it, and then you burn the resin off. And about one syringe or something was how they portrayed it.
Yeah, I've seen it on that Run from the Cure on the YouTube. Yeah.
But we had a health expert on yesterday who said that the general hemp oil that you can buy in stores won't do anything like that.
It probably not in that case, you know. But I use it a lot for skin problems,
you know,
and it does help a lot. And I drink it as well, and it helps a lot. You know, like just for general health and general well-being.
Oh, that's true. If your health is good.
Hmm?
That's true. I mean, how do cannabinoids actually work when they attach to cells, though? Because I'm aware that you have specified cannabinoid receivers in your cells.
Yeah.
Which are geared to particularly go after those. And the more cannabis you use, the more cannabis receivers your cells grow. So I find it very, very interesting because apparently, and I'm not 100% sure on the validity of this, but what cannabinoids can do is sort of change what they are, almost, to like your cell will be craving a particular type of nutrient, and a cannabinoid has the ability to fulfill many of those different nutrient needs.
Yeah.
And it just kind of decides which one.
Yeah.
I heard that, but I'm not 100% sure if that's 100% true. But it sounds about right, because if it was a cure-all plant, as Rick Simpson claims and has documented that it is, then it would probably make sense that it could act in many different ways, all of which being beneficial.
Well, I've seen it acting a lot of different ways, you know, through the members of Green Cross. You know, and that's why I mentioned the oil, because, you know, quite a few people had, you know, a lot of success with that oil for medical conditions. And the same with the seed. You know, we've been eating the seed from the hemp seed, which we got some imported a while back, and that's been beneficial in some ways as well.
Well, it's the most nutritious food known to nature, apparently, hemp seed.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're nice and healthy and your body's getting all the nutrients that it needs, then the chances of cancer getting hold and starting to grow is probably reduced. And also, we've been using the roots for people that have had nerve damage. And just eating the roots, and that seems to make a huge difference to them.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a multi-purpose product. Yeah. I mean, and there's several products that you can make out of it, of course, but think about all the different arrays of pharmaceutical drugs that were offered in counter to this one plant that can do pretty much all of them.
Yeah. Well, there was one lady from Green Cross, and she had, like, some sort of stomach cancer, and it was costing $5,000 a week for her medication.
The top five pharmaceutical companies in the world, or something around those lines, made the most money out of any other corporate chain in the world last year.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, I bet it didn't cost them anywhere near that to make it. Probably only cost them $5,200 or something to make and delivered, you know?
Yeah,
but anyway, that's how much they were charging, and it was causing a problem. She was, you know, it didn't actually cure the cancer. She still had, you know, huge problems. And she started using cannabis, and she started using cannabis butter. You heard of that? You would have heard of that, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's improved heaps. But the thing is, she's already had it for a long time, you know? So it's sort of well-established, so she's in serious problems. But, you know, if she'd got onto it sooner, the chances of it healing more would have been, you know, much better.
Well, that's,
so that's, a, you know, a life mother... a wife, and she was out of action. She was on that much medication, she couldn't look after a kid, she couldn't go shopping, she couldn't do anything, and then once she got onto cannabis, she could at least function again. So that was a big relief for her, you know.
Well, it's a safe alternative because, after all, cannabis doesn't have, like, millions and millions of side effects. It's like the worst side effects is, I don't know, perhaps if you've been drinking too, you might vomit or perhaps go get a bit sleepy. But other than that, you know, you don't have full-spectrum hallucinations and I don't know, have wild sex orgy parties, apparently, as the old propaganda says.
Cocaine you're thinking about there, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and you don't just randomly murder people either. You know, and this is the interesting thing about the law, isn't it? I mean, it's based solely on a lie. Now, in what point throughout history has anybody actually read a law or done some research to back it up and got listened to? Yeah. It's a heck of a ladder to climb.
Yeah. Yeah, the media has a lot to, you know, really, the media hasn't been fair with the subject. It's been very biased. And, you know, quite often any constructive stuff that people start saying about cannabis, they get actually a bit ridiculed, you know?
Yeah, it happened to Dr. Green not too long ago. The close-up program did a story on them, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, it's very nice, cool, you know. And, yep, they did a hit piece on him.
Oh, was that at Waitangi Day?
Yep.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the reporters were fine. You know, the reporters didn't edit it. It was the editor that did that. And unfortunately, it sort of blew up, and everybody got a bit of custard on their face, you know. But quite frankly, you know, a lot of the reporters do the best. The best is what they can. And the problem is actually coming from the top. A lot of the reporters are really good people, you know. I know a few of them, and, you know.
Did they question their own, the authority that directs them, though?
Yeah,
I guess if they did, they wouldn't be reporters, would they?
No, they wouldn't have a job. They'd be unemployed.
So, well, hold on a second. And this is another interesting point about the war on drugs. If you're against the war on drugs, you can't come out and say it because you lose your job.
Yeah. Hey, quite a few people have been getting in touch with me lately because they're bringing a lot of the businesses in New Zealand are starting to do this testing for urine samples to see if you've been smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
But what they're not testing for impairment. They're actually testing if you've had a smoke or been near anybody in the last 6 months that's had a smoke.
Well, the CIA figured out back in the day, apparently, that if you are a cannabis user, you're much, much more difficult to brainwash.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? Because we just don't listen to you.
Well, where are the most creative people? I mean, where are the most successful people? Haven't they all pretty much smoked pot? You know, Bill Clinton smoked pot, Barack H. O'Barry smoked pot. It doesn't matter. Bob Dylan. Right, so the stigma that gets put on cannabis users I find very, very ironic because there's evidence, stark evidence, to the contrary in virtually every single sector. The concept of the lowly stoner or the cannabis cultist, as I've come to call them, is that of a loser of some description.
Yeah.
And again, just like the law itself, based on BS.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the biggest losers are the people that drink a lot of alcohol, probably as a group.
Well, it kills more people than crack, coke and heroin combined each year. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest from Green Cross New Zealand is Billy McKee. And we will be right back after the break.
My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite.
We're back!
By satellite.
Live from the future, baby. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, where you can cruise in and see the radio archives of any friggin' show that we have done, or at least links to the effect. Welcome back also to our very special guest from Green Cross New Zealand, Billy McKee. Billy, welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
Right, now, go ahead, mate.
There's another thing I wanted to mention to you about the using the cannabis for medicine is some people have been using it, you know, just the raw bud, fresh bud, and just sellotaping it onto, like, nerve damage.
Sellotaping raw bud onto nerve damage.
Yeah, and even, you know, like if I get some, like, skin cancer, little lumps like that, and I just sellotape it onto them.
Wow. Now, that's real simple, isn't it?
Isn't it? And the thing is, you know, like, because my leg's been amputated and I get, you know, high levels of pain from it, depending how much I've been walking on it. But so if I walk on it a bit one day and I'm trying to go to sleep at night, there's like no way I'm going to go to sleep because it just really hurting. And I just sort of tape some butter onto it, and you know, like 20 minutes later, it stopped hurting, and I can just go to sleep.
Sweet as.
Just sort of chuck that one in there.
it's just basically asked and answered. The debate is over. Now we just need to repeat it 1,000 times until people start to pick up on it.
Yeah. It's incredible how sort of hard-headed a lot of people are. And they, it's probably all the propaganda they get and the brainwashing that's been going on for years and years about how bad it is.
Well, technically, brainwashing is addictive. Did you know that?
It's a what?
It's addictive.
Okay.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, brainwashing, which acts like a drug, has been used to make you think that drugs are bad.
Yeah. Because it actually appeals to your emotions, doesn't it? Oh, the bloody cannabis is going to ruin my family and put my kids into jail and stuff like that. And it's actually really not the cannabis. It's all some bloody stupid laws around it.
Yeah. Well, it gets you real hyped up with a whole bunch of hate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How beneficial is that? You know, just a whole bunch of hate raging inside our boys in blue and our court judges and all our general citizens. You know, don't they realise it's their country too?
Yeah.
You know, this can happen to, like, poor just innocent stoners and stuff like that who are just having a good time or whatever. And you know, some guy pulls up and they get taken into a car, handcuffed, get all their stuff taken off them, get their piercings cut off them with bolt cutters, as happened in Christchurch recently.
Yep.
There's all this type of sexual molestation that's been happening by through police being reported, you know. For goodness sake.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the enforcement, at the very least.
Yeah.
And something at a very deep level.
It's the police culture, isn't it? Yeah, and they have a huge influence on the laws.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Just like the military have a huge influence about where they stay or go.
Yeah, I heard that the other day.
Just recently, ladies and gentlemen, the SAS said to John Key, our Prime Minister, can we please stay in Afghanistan and shoot Talibanis, please?
Yeah.
And John Key went, okay, you twisted my arm.
Again, fellas. Yeah.
They're selling out our boys overseas.
Right?
They're selling out our boys overseas. They're selling out our youth in this country. They're indoctrinating the police into some description of gang feudalistic culture.
Yeah.
You know, where does the cookie trail end?
Ends with a change in government. In New Zealand, we need to get the Greens in into power and government, or get a big hunk of Greens into Parliament, and that's going to be the start of our change. And same worldwide, you know, over in the States and that, you know, there's no good bouncing back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats over there because they both dance to the same fiddler. They both there to make the rich people richer. So, you know, you've got to vote for the Greens. Well, I think the Greens is the only other option you've got over there. It's pretty much the only option we've got here. We just need to get those bastards out, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, Heap the scum off the top of the pile. Give back to Caesar what's Caesar's. I thought that was a brilliant idea. But apparently, it's not an idea that many people are ready to digest. Because they're self-appointed guardians of the status quo. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Exactly it. I actually seen a poll done on the internet last night. There might be an information website or something like that, and they've done a poll for the next elections, and the Green Party got more votes than anybody in any of the other parties. The Labor Party and the National Party, they do lots and lots of harm to the average people in New Zealand, and yet the people still keep voting for them. It just boggles my mind. Why would you even vote for them, people, you know?
Well, I would question why you vote at all this year. I mean, I've realised that the whole system is bunk. You know, I mean, the Greens have promised many times to try and liberalise cannabis laws, but they simply don't have the numbers, and they're not going to achieve a majority. So,
if they've got the numbers, then they can do it.
Exactly, but I was thinking that if it's going to be a movement to legalise grass, then the movement has to be grassroots. You know what I'm saying? what was happening today, in fact, in district courts all around the country, including Waitakere, Whangarei, Auckland Central District, and Wellington, I believe, there were cannabis protests outside the courtrooms for hours. And that's kind of unprecedented, because I've not seen anything like that, other than, for example, once a year we have an event on the 1st of May called J-Day. So
yeah,
I think that the movements are, the movements are really getting going out there, and the Daiquiri in Auckland has been doing an amazing job, really pushing the issues out there. They've gotten more media coverage than anybody else. Most of it's negative, of course, but it speaks to the fact that activism, I think, is more effective than politicians. After all, we can't hold our politicians to account, can we? I mean, if they don't want to answer a question, they don't have to. It doesn't matter whether
they don't want to tell the truth.
No. Yeah.
If they want to say one thing before they get into Parliament, and then when they get in there, they can say another thing, then they do.
So why would the Greens be any different, you know? I mean, like...
They're not corporate controlled. They're not there just for greed. They're actually aware of the environmental issues. There's many forms of greed,
I would think. But some of them, you know, I would venture a guess that maybe... I'm not 100% sure that any one party should have a say in Parliament, because I think basically they've all failed everybody.
Well, the Greens haven't really been in, so they haven't really had a chance to fail anyone. If you read the Green Party policies, which they have no choice about sticking to, then you'll...
There's a difference between a policy and a principle, though. Yeah, I'm just extra suspicious, maybe, because the founder of Greenpeace, you know, and stuff like that, he said that what the new green agenda is all about is just pushing communism. They call it social justice now. I mean, back in the 70s with the McCarthy era, where they would raid anybody with a communist meeting place or anything like that, they then changed their names to Progressives and Greens. You know, like the watermelon effect of the green on the outside, red on the inside. What I'm saying here is that we're being provided with Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledoo. You know, it's like they all part. The direction doesn't change, does it? I mean, all the way up through the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, it's all just been one long stretch to make this country progressively worse, more in debt overseas, and everything like that. So my conclusion is that the entire political system itself, and I wouldn't necessarily point fingers at particular individuals, but the entire system itself, and I think particularly Treasury having an inordinate amount of influence on Parliament, really, really must be addressed before any election I could believe in. You know, I mean, Obama came in under the "Change We Can Believe In" slogan, and now he's going to go. And now he's going to campaign in 2012 for a change you can beg for.
Change you can what?
Change you can beg for.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, because I was a real supporter of Obama when he was, you know, in his whole campaign. You know, we donated money to him, we did whatever we could to support him, and then he gets in and he just backstabs everybody just like that.
Yeah, I know. And I would think that, you know, like, you have to be kind of a ruthless person in order to get up that high in politics anyway. So it means that anybody who gets into prominence would know that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, actually, what you're saying about the political system needs to change. But we're not going to get a change in our political system with the political parties that we've got in power now.
Exactly. You know,
the chance of getting a political change is, like, unless you do something like what Egypt's done, which I totally support. You know, we made a donation to them this morning through Code Pink. You know who Code Pink is? It's an American group.
No.
Hmm?
Who are Code Pink?
It's an American group. Anti-war. Woman against war, I think.
Oh,
but
yeah?
They're very active, you know, so we support them, and, you know, I'm trying to get them to come on board to help to stop the war on drugs as well, because it's still a war.
Yeah. We've
still got casualties. We've got full prisons. Oh.
Prison camps.
And with kids.
And we didn't start it, did we?
No, not at all. No intention at all being involved in that. So, so I reckon, you know, like, that's what I'm sort of thinking. If we can get the Greens in, then we've got a better chance of getting changes in the way the government's run, because they're actually run by the bureaucrats. You know, you vote someone.
See, that's what I'm saying, you know, like, political parties come and go. But the central bank remains, so does Treasury, so does the Justice Department, so does the police. the machine keeps operating in the exact same way. I mean, it would be revolutionary, for any government to make any change in this country whatsoever, knowing the system we have, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And it would take an act of something along the lines of what's happening in Egypt with fucking petrol bombs and rocks and everything. We don't want to go that far.
Much better not to.
I mean, there has to be peaceful, non-violent resistance here because, basically, the whole system's geared up so that we are hamsters on a frickin' treadmill, bleeding money, and just basically dying cold and alone at the end of the story. That's what the government does.
Yeah,
and it's
when can't get any more work out of you know, on the scrap pile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, sorry, we've had enough of you. Off you go.
You can't work long enough anymore. Hey, but see, that protest in Egypt, it started off as non-violent. It only became violent when the police started attacking the protesters.
Well, and also counter-protesters started attacking the protesters.
Well, who are those counter-protesters? They're actually
organized by the police. They're working for Mubarak.
Yeah.
President Mubarak.
Yeah. So that's his crew, which is all the police and anyone else who can round up.
And you know what else his crew did? They went into the Egyptian museum and started smashing stuff and taking stuff and then blaming it on the protesters as well.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, but see, you see what happened after that? The police, the protesters formed their own police units.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they did their own policing. Cool. Now, if you can do your own policing, And you can say, well, the police aren't allowed into this area because we do our own policing and we don't trust you anymore, so we'll do it, then that's a place for a good change there because, see, the police just got way too much power.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. And I just did a video recently about kill the search and surveillance bill because that is a multi-headed monster and it's going to crack down on every single freedom that we got thus far that everybody's died for to protect.
Yep, it's terrifying, that bill.
Yeah, I mean, we are under attack. Like, seriously, there's a general progression towards tyranny here. And it's not just happening in New Zealand, it's happening everywhere. That's why everybody's talking about this new world order, because the whole world is going to hell.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why these protests are being talked about like a domino effect.
Yeah, well, it's if they can pull it off, they can shake the new world order because the Yanks were propping up that bloody Mubarak president over in Egypt anyway, and he was a bloody crook, and they're still propping him up as they do all around the world.
Anybody who's seen the news pictures of the tanks, guess which tanks they are? Abrams effing tanks made in America.
Yeah, yeah. I heard the protesters were complaining because a lot of the smoke bombs and all that had "Made in America" written on them.
Tyranny fresh and delivered to you via FedEx.
yeah. Check on this, you freedom fighter. Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
You're a bad bearded terrorist, and we're gonna smoke you out. We're gonna smoke you out of your cave.
yeah.
The tyranny.
So it is a multi-headed monster that we're battling against, and the cannabis is just one aspect of it, and the medicinal cannabis is only one aspect of that as well, because it's the food value of that plant.
And we'll get into more of this just after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest coming at us live from New Zealand is Billy McKee from Green Cross in New Zealand, and we'll be right back.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all get, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and we'll respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They
they pay your debt bills off your back with hefty tax demands.
Oh, and those taxes are extra hefty these days. The government's like a big friggin' gang, and all they're looking to do is just come and tax you. Isn't that fabulous of them? A very special guest is Billy McKee from Green Cross in New Zealand. Billy, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
All right. Now, final words, I mean, do you have a website here in New Zealand?
Yep. That's it, greencross.org.nz.
All right. Now, one that I wanted to go through is the sort of international aspect of this, because I was speaking with Dr. Green today about the influences, right? Like, what if New Zealand had legalized cannabis? Would it be part of a domino effect, and is that likely? I mean, apparently it's fairly unlikely because of the inordinate amount of influence that we have from overseas. And this happened to the Netherlands as well, that when they started talking about liberalizing cannabis laws, they got threatened with all these trade embargoes and all of this other kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, this, well, hold on a second. How could it actually be done? Because every single person who'd come into government would say, hey, look, these people are going to destroy our economy overnight if we legalize cannabis. Maybe the idea would be to turn the economy into a cannabis economy.
Well,
after all, it can do pretty much anything.
Hmm?
We don't need them, do we?
That's exactly right.
If we've got cannabis, we don't need them. So what does their influence matter?
I mean, you don't need them for oil.
Yeah.
You can get enough oil from the seeds, you know, you can use it for food and that, but you can use it to run, apparently you can run it straight into a diesel engine. You don't even need to process it. Just, you know, crush the seeds and crush the oil out of it, and it will run a diesel engine. And then you can process it, refine it, and you can make fuel out of it that will run a petrol engine. So, you know, and look at all the area, you know, like they're talking about digging up coal and stuff like that, you know, to make stuff. But all up the far north, you know, there's heaps of area up there you could grow cannabis, and all down the western coast and all that sort of stuff. It would create work for pretty much everybody if you were allowed to do it. And I totally agree with what you say. You know, just say that, you know, well, if we totally legalise it, we don't need them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And because we don't need them, it means that they are very, very determined to make sure that we don't realise that.
Yeah. So they probably go the extent of nuking us.
Pardon?
If we did that. They'd probably nuke us if we did that. they're actually quite heartless, eh? They don't really care how much damage gets done, eh?
Well, they're the most ruthless, psychopathic scum on the face of the earth, to put it lightly.
Yeah, totally agree with every word.
You know, these words wouldn't be put out on mainstream media, would they? You know, in the news today, a couple of psychopathic, disgusting scum decided to order the Prime Minister to sell off the country's assets. Here's Tom with the weather.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing is, it could be done, and it does grow quite readily. It's quite a easy crop to grow. So the only thing stopping people growing it is the bloody government.
Well, you can get apparently 3 harvests a year out of growing industrial hemp in the right area, or something ridiculous like that. A friend of mine, when I was a younger guy, he told me about the ethanol that you can make from cannabis, and you know that kind of bit where Mount Taranaki is, it kind of sticks out of the side of the North Island, just that one chunk there. If an area that big was planted with cannabis, it would take care of the country's entire bit of any kind of petrol needs.
Is that right?
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's incredible. And then look how much money goes out of the country every year just for petrol.
We export petrol.
Yeah. Oh, we export it now, but we just don't get any of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
overseas, all these scumbags. I mean, apparently, what's his name? Tim Shadbolt down the South Island, he managed to score us a good deal on the per barrel price that ExxonMobil has the license to get out of the Great South Basin. How much? 4 or 3.5 cents a barrel.
Oh, really?
The scum, man. They're selling it for like $100 a barrel nearly, or whatever the heck it is now, and we get a 3.5 cents.
You only laugh so you don't cry, eh?
I know.
How ridiculous is that?
It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that oil should be staying here. Actually, should stay on the ground. But it's,
yeah, and again, it's just like with the cannabis. Because we've got cannabis, we don't need it.
Yeah. We don't need your crappy food either.
Yeah.
Because you can make a lot of food out of that cannabis. You can even make ice cream out of it. Did you know that?
It was the number one ingredient for close to 100 years or something like that, until the law was passed and then it was ordered out of every cookbook.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I read from Jack Herer, the late hemperer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because it was well used right around the world, and then in quite a short period of time it was gone, eh?
Yeah. Some people thought, hey, that's threatening my profits. You can't give people medicine. You can't give people building materials. Not when it takes me years and years and decades to make mine, all right? That's just not fair. So I'm just going to make that illegal. Thank you very much. And then I'm going to control the drug trade and profit off it anyway.
yeah, exactly. And apparently people used to have it like, you know how you have porridge for breakfast? And they used to just, you know, have the seeds, but they used to cook them up, and it used to be called gruel. G-R-U-E-L. And just about everybody ate that for breakfast. And in the olden days, you know, a lot of those people, they survived on not very much, and they were a bloody hardy bunch, you know? I wouldn't want to go through.
That's the good thing, I think, about New Zealand, is we are also a hardy bunch, and we shouldn't put up too much crapola. I'd like to thank you very much, Billy McKee, for coming on the show with us today, mate. Hope to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
There he goes. See you, mate. There he goes. Billy McKee from Green Cross New Zealand. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our Kiwi Collaborator segment for today. Coming up next, you'll be enjoying some, provided the internet connection holds and it doesn't get switched off by Barack H.O. Barry's kill switch. We'll be back next hour with some ranting from Vinny.